The first time I watched a student nail a power off 180, I saw something happen in their face. It wasn't just relief, it was the moment they understood for the first time that they could actually manage this airplane. That they could look at a runway from 1,000 feet away, cut the power, and put the wheels down within 200 feet of where they intended. No engine help, just the airplane and everything they had learned. I'm Pattern. You're listening to Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about the power-off 180 accuracy approach, what it is, why it matters, and how to actually fly it well. Before we get into it, a quick word to our friends at AviationSoul.com. If you are working toward a certificate or rating, these are the people who make challenge coins worth having. Solo flight, private pilot, instrument commercial, they have a coin for each one. A genuinely great way to mark the milestones that actually mean something. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, the power-off 180. If you're working on your private certificate, you have already been introduced to this maneuver. If you are preparing for your commercial, you know it is front and center on the airman certification standards. But here's the thing I want to say right at the top. This maneuver is not a test trick. It is one of the most honest evaluations of whether you can actually fly an airplane. Energy management, stick and rudder coordination. Judgment, spatial awareness. It asks for all of it at the same time with no safety net. Here is the basic premise. You are at a prescribed altitude, typically 1,000 feet above ground level, abeam the numbers on a downwind leg. At that point, you close the throttle to idle. And from that moment on, you do not touch the power again. Your job is to put the airplane on the ground within 200 feet beyond a specific touchdown point. That is the standard, 200 feet. On the commercial certificate, the tolerance tightens. You need to be within 100 feet beyond your aiming point, and you need to touch down in the first 1,000 feet of the runway. So the stakes get higher as you progress, and that is exactly how it should be. Let's talk about why this maneuver exists in the first place. Every single engine airplane has a throttle that can, at some point, stop working. Engine failures are rare, but they happen. And when one happens, usually at a bad time, in a bad place, the pilot who has practiced power-off approaches has a fundamentally different set of options than the one who has not. The power-off 180 is a simulation of a specific scenario. You lose the engine at pattern altitude on downwind. You're not going to make it to another runway. You do not have the altitude to circle back, to the departure end. You have to make this one work, on this approach, with what you have right now. So you practice it over and over until you know what a good glide looks like from the inside, until you can feel the difference between, I have it made, and I'm going to come up short. That instinct is worth more than almost anything else you can build as a pilot. Let me walk you through the technique from the beginning. The setup starts before you even get to the key position. On downwind, you need to be at pattern altitude. If your field has a standard traffic pattern altitude of 800 feet above ground level, be there. If it is 1,000, be there. You're not doing yourself any favors by being at 1,100 and thinking you are giving yourself extra margin. The maneuver has a defined entry point, and flying it correctly means starting it correctly. Your abeam position matters. Be abeam the numbers, not halfway down the runway, not past the departure end. Abeam the touchdown zone numbers at the correct altitude at a normal pattern airspeed. That is your starting gun. When you pull the throttle to idle, the first thing you do is pitch for best glide speed. For most training airplanes, a Cessna 172 is going to be around 65 knots, a Piper Cherokee somewhere around 73 knots. Know your airplane's number before you practice this maneuver. It is in the pilot operating handbook, and it is the most important number in an engine out scenario. Best glide is where you extract the most distance for your altitude. That is exactly what you need. Establish best glide and then think about your position relative to the runway. The turn to base is the critical moment in the whole sequence. If you turn too early, you're going to find yourself close in, high, and scrambling. If you turn too late, you're going to come up short and start making desperate decisions. Most students turn too early because turning feels like progress. It is not. When you're still on downwind and you have not lost much altitude, turning base puts you on a very short final with no room to manage energy. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Your reference point on base is not the runway threshold. It is the far end of the runway. When you turn base, look at the far threshold. If that point appears to be dropping below your nose, you have excess energy. You are high. If it is rising toward your nose, you are losing the energy race. That relationship, the movement of the far end of the runway against your nose, tells you exactly where you stand. On base, you are making a continuous decision. Do I have it made? Am I short? What do I need to do right now? If you're high, you add flaps. Flaps increase drag dramatically and steepen your descent without requiring you to increase airspeed. This is your primary tool for managing energy from the key position through touchdown. The cardinal rule of the power off 180 is this. You can always throw away energy you have, but you cannot manufacture energy you do not have. Say that again to yourself before every practice attempt. You can always throw away energy you have. You cannot manufacture energy you do not have. If you are low, you extend the downwind, you go wider, you do not stretch the glide by pulling the nose up. That is the instinct. That is the wrong instinct. Raising the nose above best glide speed in a glide does not help you go further. It slows the airplane below best glide, increases your sink rate, and in the worst case, puts you very close to a stall at the moment you can least afford one. The pilot who pulls back when they feel short is the pilot who lands in the fence. Use width and timing, not pitch, to manage a low situation early in the approach. On final, you are aligned with the runway, managing your remaining energy, and flying the airplane to a specific spot. Your aiming point is inside the threshold, typically around 300 to 500 feet down the runway, because the airplane is going to float slightly after you cross the fence. If you aim for the very threshold, you may touch down before it, know your airplane's float characteristics, and pick your point accordingly. Now let me talk about wind, because wind changes everything in this maneuver. On a calm day, the power off 180 is difficult enough. On a windy day, it requires real judgment and real adjustment. A headwind on final gives you energy back. That runway that looked like it was rising toward you on base may look perfectly manageable once you turn into the wind and your ground speed drops. A tailwind on downwind lets you extend further from the runway before turning base, which gives you more room to work with. Here is the adjustment that catches pilots off guard. On a windy day, if you fly the same pattern you fly on a calm day, you will be consistently off. Wind on downwind pushes you away from the runway faster than normal, which means your base and final will be shorter. You need to compensate for that by starting your base turn a little sooner, and by flying a slightly tighter pattern overall. The pilots who fly the power off 180 well in wind are the ones who are always watching not just where they are, but how the picture is changing. Is the runway getting bigger, faster than expected? Wider, downwind. Slower than expected? Tighten up. It is a constant conversation with the conditions. Let me talk about the common mistakes, because knowing where people go wrong helps you avoid the same traps. The most common mistake is flying the maneuver by feel instead of by reference. Students will say things like, "I thought I had it," or "it looked good from base." The power off 180 rewards pilots who are always asking, "Where's that far threshold relative to my nose? And am I ahead of or behind the picture I need?" Feelings are not data. Visual references are data. The second mistake is deploying flaps too early and too aggressively. If you go full flaps at the key position, you have spent all of your insurance before you know whether you need it. Use flaps incrementally and intentionally. First notch at the base turn. Second notch when you know you're made. Full flaps on final when you're confident you can make the runway and you need to steepen up. Think of flaps as the one tool you can use but cannot unuse. Third mistake, turning final too late. If you get extended on base and then try to salvage final with a steep bank close to the ground, you are in dangerous territory. A steep bank reduces your lift, increases your stall speed, and shrinks your turn radius less than you think it will. If you add rudder to try to tighten that turn, you are one bad input away from a cross-control stall near the ground. Stay ahead of the airplane. Make wide, early corrections. Final should feel like the easiest part of the approach. Fourth mistake, rushing the landing. I have watched students fly a beautiful approach, get the airplane over the numbers, and then not let it stop flying. They shove it onto the runway because the relief of making it overwhelmed the discipline of executing the landing. The approach is not done when you cross the threshold. It is done when the wheels settle and the airplane stops flying. Fly it all the way to the ground. Let me talk about what the airman certification standards actually require. For the private certificate, you must touch down beyond and within 200 feet of a specified point. You must maintain coordinated flight throughout. You must not use power except to prevent actual hazard. That last part matters. If you are genuinely about to undershoot the runway and hit something, you add power. The maneuver is a simulation, not a commitment to damage the airplane. But power is an option of last resort, not a patch for a sloppy approach. For the commercial certificate, the touchdown zone narrows to 100 feet beyond your specified point, and the approach must demonstrate precision, not just survival. Your examiner is watching whether you are making proactive decisions or reactive ones. The best power-off 180s look almost boring from outside the airplane. That is the highest compliment you can receive on this maneuver. Here's something I want to say to the student who has been struggling with this one. This maneuver is genuinely hard. It requires you to process several things simultaneously: your altitude, your energy state, your visual references, your airspeed, your position relative to the runway, your flap configuration, the wind, the aiming point, all at once, without power to bail you out. That is a lot to hold at the same time, but it gets easier. And the way it gets easier is repetition with intention. Do not go up and just fly the maneuver. Go up and fly it while asking yourself at every key point, where is my energy right now? Where is the far threshold sitting against my nose? What would I do if I were 100 feet lower at this moment? Ask those questions out loud if you have to, make the thought process explicit until it becomes automatic. And when you get it right, when you pull the power at pattern altitude and put the wheels down exactly where you planned, remember that feeling. That is what it feels like to fly the airplane rather than let it fly you. The Power-Off 180 is not just a commercial certificate requirement. It is a window into how you think about flying. A pilot who can manage a no-power approach understands energy in a way that transfers to everything else. Slow flight, stall recovery, short field approaches, emergency procedures. These things all connect. Master this one and the rest of your flying gets better alongside it. If you're a private pilot who finished your training and moved on, consider going back to this one. Put it in the pattern. Pull the power, see how close you can get. It will tell you things about your flying that a normal approach never will sources today. Include the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook and the current private and commercial airman certification standards. More at radiohangar.com.
I'm Pattern. Keep flying it all the way to the ground.